my good friends who said, "Mike, we'll be praying for you this week." This is a subject that we all struggle with a little bit. One guy even said, "Wow, how'd you get stuck with that subject?" Well, let me tell you how I got stuck with that subject. See, when we start a new season, before we start a new season of speaking, the guys that are going to be designated as speakers get a list of the topics that are available for that term. And we go down through the list, and each one of us, I think the reason why week after week we have such strong messages that come from here is because each guy prayerfully considers what he wants to speak about, and then God puts it on his heart to make that decision. Well, I said a prayer. I asked the Lord, I said, "God, reveal to me what you want me to talk about this term." And I started down through the list. The rat race, leading an unexamined life. I looked at two or three more, and then there's subjects on children and marriage and friends and money. Nothing really jumped out at me yet. I looked at priorities, decisions, time management, integrity, leading a secret thought life.
Mike, wait. This talk's for you.
That still, quiet voice grabbed a hold of me. And I didn't have to go any further. But don't think God doesn't have a sense of humor, because this area is an area that I deal with and fight with on a daily basis. The area of my secret thought life. What's going on up here? And I think for most of us in this room, it's a battle that takes place on a daily basis. See, I was 22 when I accepted Christ in my life. And so I had 22 years of living strictly in that sinful mindset that we have before we're Christians. See, as a child, I was a pretty good kid. Most people thought I was respectful and had my manners, and I did things pretty well, but I still was a little sinner. And that little sinner would build up those sinful thoughts that would take place, and I'd store them in that sinful mind that I had. And then around 15 or 16, as I was older and got more independence, could drive, girls came into the picture, I graduated to a new level of sin. And then at 18, when I went off to college, I was drafted into the pros when it came to sin. And until almost age 22, my life was focused on that sinful nature. And to be honest about it, I got sick of it just before my 22nd birthday. And at that point, I turned my life over to Christ, gave my life to Him, and a new aspect of my mind began to take root. See, before we're Christians, that old nature, that old mindset is just sin-oriented. It's full of sin. Paul said in Romans 6, 19 and 20 that nature is a slave to sin. There is no righteousness that exists in our nature prior to us accepting Christ into our life. No righteousness at all. And you may say, "Well, gosh, I know people that I don't think are Christians that do good things, are good people." And I say, "Well, sure. You know, there are some good people out there who do good things who don't know the Lord. But there are all kinds of motivations for doing good things. makes us feel good. We want to please other people, gain friends. You know, there may even be financial gain in doing good things. There are lots of motivations for doing good things. But unless we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, have trusted Jesus for the forgiveness of our sin, allowed His blood to pay the penalty for that sin, no righteousness exists in our minds. We are directed and controlled and enslaved by sin. On your outline, our main passage, Romans 8, 5, and 6, it says, those who live according to the sin nature have their mind set on what the sin nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. This description, it describes two aspects of what goes on, two different caricatures of what takes place in our minds. We have what I'm going to call the X mind, or the sinful mind. That side of us, the carnal man. That side of us that is controlled and enslaved by sin. And then we have what we're going to term the Y mind, okay? That Spirit-filled mind. The mind that comes and it is implanted in our, the part of our mind that's implanted in our minds and hearts when we accept Christ into our life and begin to live our life under the control and power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed. New things have come. So, if that's true, if the old things are gone and the new things have come, then why do we struggle every day with the negative and even turning into sinful thoughts that come into our mind? How come we struggle with that? I mean, God says the old's gone and the new has come. But yet, I still struggle with it every day. Well, the Apostle Paul laid out that struggle for us very, very clearly in his word. And I want to read you, the Apostle Paul is one of the greatest Christian men that has inhabited the face of this earth. Okay? And yet, listen to what he talks about his struggle in this area. Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 24. I do not understand what I do. For what I do, For what I do, I do not do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But I do what I hate. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. This is Apostle Paul talking about it. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if you do what you do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What wretched man am I? Paul describes himself. What wretched man am I? Who will rescue me from this body of death? Guys, if the Apostle Paul struggled with this issue, I don't think it's hard for us to accept the fact that we struggle with this issue. I want to illustrate, give you an illustration, a personal illustration of how we can allow our thoughts to take over even in the midst of walking with God, being with God, and how it can even lead and will lead, if we allow it, to sinful action. Okay? I used to, for 10 years, I used to drive a lot in my job. I traveled 3 states on a regular basis, spent a lot of time in my car. And one evening, late in the evening, I was driving along, and I was driving on the interstate. The speed limit was 65. I had my, you know, cruise control set on about 68. Got to fudge it a little, right? And so I'm just cruising along, no big deal, just driving along, not hurting anything, doing anything. I'm listening on the radio. I had some Christian, a Christian radio station on. I was listening to some Christian stuff. Spending time with the Lord, and it was just really a good time for me. And all of a sudden, I look in my rearview mirror, and it's dust to dark. There's not a ton of traffic on the interstate, but all of a sudden, this car pulls up, and just right on my bumper. And he's just riding on my bumper, and I look back, and I thought, what in the world's going on? But I just kind of kept my pace and cruised along, and he pulls alongside me, pulls over in front of me, and then slows down. So I have to get off my cruise control, and I back off, and he slows clear down to under 60 mile an hour, so I kind of pull out and get in the lane, go around him, get in front of him, put my cruise back on, and all of a sudden, there he is on my bumper again. Pulls around me, pulls up, gets in front of me, backs off. And this goes on for this chicken and mouse game, this goes on for about 4 or 5 miles, and I turned off the radio, and I'm getting ticked. You know, I thought, what in the heck's going on with this guy? So finally, you know, I went around him again, and he did the same thing, pulled up, and then he pulls over and he kind of comes beside me, and he's kind of riding in the outside lane beside me. And I'm hot. And I just calmly turned on the inside interior light of my car. And I kind of looked over to the side, and I raised my hand in the Boy Scout symbol, except that the middle finger was kind of more prominent than the other two. And instantly, God punched me in the gut, and I felt this remorse come over me because I knew that I'd taken those thoughts that were going on to my head and I had translated them into sin. And you know what? I felt horrible. I backed off, got back in line behind him. He slowed down, I slowed down, and I just went to the Lord and I said, Father, forgive me. I am so sorry for my attitude and what I've done. I said, Lord, help me make this right. So what I did is, once again, he slowed down and everything. I pulled out and I pulled over and I got beside him. I turned on the interior light of my car and I rolled down my passenger side window. And the guy looks over at me and he's got this odd look on his face and looks over at me, and I went like this, roll your window down. And he rolled his window down. I think he was expecting to just get a blast from me, you know, especially after what I'd just done. And I said, sir, what I just did to you was wrong. I'm yelling it out through the car window. And I said, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. And I said, I must have done something up the road to really make you mad at me. And whatever I did, I apologize. I'm sorry. This guy's eyes lit up like this. He got this weird look on his face. He goes, no problem, man. Rolled his window up. Boom! He was gone. I never saw from him again. But guys, what goes on up here, if we let it fester, if we run it through the wrong filter, what comes out is the wrong sinful action. And that's what happens with us on a daily basis with so many things that we deal with. Why is it that we struggle with the desire, the fantasies of having more money, more power, nicer things, newer cars, better homes, better families, better kids? We deal with these thoughts, these struggles all the time. Why do we do that? Well, it's because we allow these things to be pushed through the wrong filter in our mind. How is it that we can see a really attractive woman walk our way and in a flash have her undressed in our minds? Why can we do that? Because we take that image and we run it through the sinful filters that we've created in our minds. You see, The X side of our mind has taken all these sinful images, all these sinful thoughts, all these things that we've put into our head, and we've built up this filter that when images come into our mind, it naturally gravitates to that filter. It's the natural way for it to go. And so everything that you read, everything that you watch, everything that you listen to, if it's got the wrong set of priorities, if it's sexual in nature, if it's graphic in nature, if it's violent in nature, if it uses vulgar language, it builds up in that filter. And our natural inclination is to take our thoughts and just allow them to go right through that filter. Okay. We've got ways to deal with it, and I'll get to it in a second. But I need to, real quickly, I cannot talk about this subject without dealing with the number one issue that affects a man's mind. In most cases, the number one issue is the thoughts that revolve around sex and lust. It's a thing that we struggle with as men. God created us this way, and yet those images, those things that we deal with in this area, we deal with them on a regular basis. And I don't care how old you get, you deal with those issues. Matter of fact, I read an article about a man who was just a few days before his 100th birthday. And the interviewer was talking to him about his life experiences. He'd been married to his wife for 80 years. She was 98 years old and still alive. And he's interviewing this gentleman and he's talking to him about all of his experiences in life. And at one point he asks this gentleman a question. He says, "Sir, at what point do people stop thinking about sex?" And the old gentleman kind of looked at the interviewer for a minute and kind of looked in a dazed glance thinking back to when the interviewer thought he was thinking back to when he stopped thinking about that issue. And then the old man looked at him and he said, "Well, son, that's a good question." He goes, "I'm not sure the answer. It's sometime after 100. So we've built up all these filters, all right? And part of our problem in our society today is we're exposed to a lot of seductive images. You cannot watch a football game on TV without a commercial going to Viagra or some, you know, Victoria's Secret commercial, whatever. It's on TV. It's right there. We can't even watch a sporting event without having it thrown at us. Okay? But some of us choose to pump that garbage into our heads. We watch crappy movies full of sexual images. We read literature that's full of sexual connotation. We look at pictures that build up this sexual filter in our mind that when an attractive woman comes our way, the natural inclination is for that to just run right through that filter. And that's how, in an instant, we can be there. I got to share with you another story that's in line with this, just to illustrate it, how we can do that and how wrong, how where it can go and what it can lead to. I was 24 years old on the mission field in Africa, had been there for 8 months, and for those of you brothers who are of color or whatever, I want you to understand, I think that God has made beautiful women in every race, color, and creed. There are gorgeous women in every race, color, and creed. But I think you would agree with me that we have a natural inclination to be attracted sexually toward women that are of our own race. Well, I'd been on the mission field in Kenya for 8 months. 6 of those months out in the bush away. I hadn't seen 10 white people in 6 months, let alone a white woman that was even close to my own age. Okay? And we decided to take a trip to Mombasa, Kenya, and we went to Mombasa. It's a resort community. It's kind of like, it would be kind of like to Europeans what Jamaica or the Bahamas, something like that, would be to us. Okay? It's a resort area. It's kind of a slow time of the year, but we went there and we just went for rest and relaxation. We've been working hard. Doing the Lord's work is great. But I get to this resort, and I go out by the pool, and I lay out, and I'm just enjoying the relaxation, taking in the sun and the ocean. The Indian Ocean is a beautiful, beautiful place. And I open my eyes, and I looked over, and all of a sudden, there's this older couple and their daughter, which is probably, she was 20. In fact, I found out she was 20. And they're kind of hanging around the pool, you know. They're putting their stuff down, and all of a sudden, the young lady kind of looks my way and gets a smile on her face, and she starts walking toward me, and she comes over, and I'm on a chaise lounger, and she, in a very German with German language, said something, and I had taken 2 years of German in high school, and I proceeded to go, "Ich spreche nicht Deutsch," which means, "I don't speak German." And she goes, "Oh, you're an American." She started speaking English, very fluent English. And I said, she says, "A seat taken." And I said, "No, it isn't, right next to me." So she sits down, and we proceed to talk and whatnot, and guys, this woman was like in the top 10 list of most beautiful women I've ever seen. I'm telling you, that's how nice she was. She was hot. I'm just saying it. And so I'm sitting there now. I've been just working for the Lord like crazy, and my heart is filled with the Holy Spirit, and things are great. And Satan plops the most temptation thing down beside me that I've ever seen. Okay? And we just talked and whatnot, and she's putting on lotion, and I'm not trying to not pay attention to that or whatever. and she's wearing a, you know, a bikini, and it's attractive, and but all of a sudden, she's European, she's German. All of a sudden, she reaches back behind her, and boop, off came the top. All of a sudden, the heat rose. I mean, it got hot. And I just sort of laid back and looked forward. And then, and she's talking to me more, and I'd look over, and I'd talk to her, I'd look her right in the eye, and I'd lay back and look forward. Anyway, the conversation sort of died down, and she laid back to sun herself, and I flipped over and put my hands down like this, and I turned my head sideways and opened my eyes, and right before my eyes, 18 inches away, is one of her most prominent parts. Now, guys, I should have closed my eyes. I should have moved. It's the right thing for me to do. But no, I stayed right there, glued to that image. Okay? Now, why do we have screensavers on our computers? What happens if we don't have screensavers on our computers? The image burns into the screen, right? Well, in our minds, when we focus on one thing, it burns into our mind. And that's exactly what happened. Okay? I spent most of that afternoon just talking and looking at and taking in Emma. She fortunately was leaving with her parents that day, so she got out of Dodge, but that image was burnt in my mind. And you know what? For me to sit there and just contemplate that and look at that, I made it sin. And then I took it even further and was able to take that image and over and over and over again play fantasy scenarios in my head. Okay? It's what we do when we allow that filter to build up with that kind of imagery, those kind of things. Guys, everything that we put through our minds, through our eyes, that we take in, that we read, that we hear, it builds up in one of two filters. The filter in our X mind, the sinful filter, or the filter in our Y mind, the Holy Spirit filter. Okay? An attractive woman in herself is not sin. That is not sin. What we do with that image determines whether or not it becomes sin. With any temptation that we have, what we do with it determines whether or not it will become sin. Temptation is going to happen. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you will be tempted. Satan wants to beat you down any way he can. What you do with that temptation, the filter you run it through, the outcome that you get determines whether or not it's become sin in your heart. So, what weapons has God given us to fight this fight that goes on in our heads, this battle that consistently exists in our minds? Well, Paul answered that question for us. Because at the end of that passage that I read to you where he was dealing with this struggle, he said, "Who will rescue me from this body of death, my sinful body?" And the answer comes in the next verse, verse 25. "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, you hear that and you think, well, gosh, that's a pretty simple explanation. And right, it is. It's a simple explanation. But what we have to take from that is that God wants us to set our things on our mind on things above, not on things down here. Everything on this earth, things of this earth, will create and build that sinful filter. But when we set our mind on Jesus, when we set our mind on things above, we build up that filter on the wise side of our mind. We build up that Holy Spirit filter that when things, temptations come our way, we've got this strong filter that we can force those things through and get a holy outcome, get a righteous outcome. God gives us the power through the power of His Holy Spirit when we rely on Him to do it. But it's an act of your will and mine. I have to choose to build that filter up. I have to choose to put, to read the Word, to spend time in prayer, to focus my mind on things above, not on things of this earth. I have to choose to spend time with Him. I have to choose to watch the right movies, listen to the right things, read the right material. It's a choice. I have to make it. And if I don't make it, I'm always going to fight this battle and lose. I'm always going to lose. But when I build up my mind with those things of the Spirit, when I saturate my mind with those things that God wants me to know and have, I have the strength of that filter that I can just force any temptation through it and I get a righteous outcome. So we can do it. We've got the power to do it. The power not within ourselves. Because ourselves are weak. We have the power through the power of the Holy Spirit to make that happen. But what if we slip? We all will. I do. Let me tell you, there's a process that I've learned that I use day in, day out. It's a process that I like to call spiritual breathing. Think about when you breathe. You exhale, you get rid of the garbage in your life. The things that, if it stays in your body, it'll kill you. Carbon dioxide will kill you if it stays in your body. You exhale it out, and then you take in the life-saving oxygen that we breathe. And we do it without even thinking about it. We just do it. We breathe. How many times a day do you breathe? I don't know. Every time your body needs to breathe. That's how many times. But when you spiritually breathe, that sin comes in, you know it's happened, you recognize it, you take it to the Lord and you exhale it. You get it out before Him and you say, Lord Jesus, I blew it. I'm sorry. Thank You for forgiving me of my sin. Take that sin and restore me. And then you take in, and you just take in that forgiveness that comes by confessing and turning that sin over to Jesus, and you inhale that life-restoring strength and power that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. How many times do you need to do it? Guys, I don't know, every time you sin. That could be a couple times a day. That may be 100 times a minute. But the more you practice it, the more you do it, the more when you recognize your sin, the more of the Holy Spirit, the more of righteousness that you take into your mind, and you build up that righteous filter, you'll recognize that sin immediately. You'll deal with it immediately. You'll turn from it. And you know what happens? It happens less and less. That's what I had to do with the images I built in my mind of Emma. It took a while. I fought it for a long time because I had it burnt right in here. Matter of fact, I hadn't thought, until I did this message, I hadn't thought about her for years and years and years. Practice spiritual breathing. Absorb God's Word. Empower yourself with the power of the Holy Spirit. Guys, we can win you'll win. God will win the battle between your ears. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you give us the weapons that we need to fight that battle between our ears. We thank you that you love us and you want us to live in righteousness. You desire more than anything for us to fellowship with you every day, every minute, every hour, constantly. You want to be in constant fellowship with us. And we know that our sin breaks that fellowship. We know we're weak in our spirit, in our own hearts and minds. But we thank you that the power of the Holy Spirit gives us mighty strength to overcome. That Satan and temptation have no way with us when we rely on your power. Thank you for the blessing of who you are and what you do for us and with us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.